We're going to start with our boys in a devotional. If you would join in with them. Baylor's going to lead us off in a prayer.
Dear God, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for everything you gave to us. Thank you for our friends and family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job,
man.
Good job. All right, Brooks, come on, buddy.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13.
I'm going to sing We Bow Down, verses 1 and 2. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You are Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down.
Jesus loves me, this
I know.
For the Bible tells me so. Let the ones who can't be wrong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
I wouldn't argue with them either, Will. All right, Evan's going to lead us in this song, and then we'll have some family news announcements, and then we're going to worship God. Lead us well, Evan.
Sure. I know. 881. Mansion over the hilltop. Verses 1 and 2. I'm satisfied with just Christ below. A little silver and a little gold. But as the city where Christ will shine, I want a gold one that's silver line. I've got a mansion just on the hilltop in that
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you, especially those that are visiting with us this afternoon. We're glad you're here with us. We hope that you'll stay around and let us get to know you a little better. I have a few announcements we need to make before we begin. We're thankful that Patty Hunt was released yesterday and from rehab, and she's now home. We are sad to announce once again Nancy Cox has passed away. That was yesterday morning. Her visitation and funeral will be at Williams. Tuesday from 12 to 2 will be the visitation with the funeral following at 2. Please remember those that are still traveling back from CYC. Some have made it back. Some are still on the road, so keep those folks in your prayers. Remember the Sisters in Service, the Men's Breakfast, and the Wednesday morning Bible study will all be taking place this coming week. You can refer to the Place of Grace or the PowerPoint slides behind me for details on that. Thank you to everyone who signed up with the Coates Benefit Trail Ride. All the food items and the paper products can be placed on the counter and the serving area of the kitchen by Sunday, March 3rd. Please remember to pray for good weather for this event. There's a list of the auction items now in the foyer if you'd like to pick one of those up. Men, please check your mailboxes in the foyer to see if you've been scheduled to serve in worship for the month of March. We're looking forward to the Mars Hill Chorus being here on March 10th. They'll be giving a singing performance after our evening services, and the young men from the chorus will also be conducting our worship services that evening. There'll be a new members' luncheon on March 17th in the family room. If you've placed membership here between July 23rd and the present, please check your mailboxes in the foyer for an invitation to that luncheon. Please remember to RSVP to the church by March 3rd so we can have an accurate count for the luncheon. That's all the announcements have. This time we'll begin.
Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, the people shout before his throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God. Make a joyful noise.
pray. Heavenly Father, for this very beautiful day you have given us, we are so thankful. And we honor you, and we bow down before you. And we pray that we'll do so not just one day of the week, but every minute of every hour of every day. And we'll show our love and concern and praise to you. Father, we're grateful for the 13,000 that were part of the CYC gathering, and for the safe arrival of ours back here. And for those who will be traveling into the night, and maybe even in the morning from other places. And pray, Father, the young people and those not so young will hold near and dear those lessons that were learned, that they'll live them out not just this week, but in time to come. Father, we're mindful of those that need our prayers. We ask that you'll be with the Cox family in the passing of Miss Nancy, and pray that you'll bless them in a very special way. We ask, Father, that you'll be with Brother Glenn Tatum in his surgery, and pray that you'll bless the hands and skills of those who will be working with his heart, and pray that things will be better for him, and that they can improve his health for many more years to come. We ask, Father, that you'll bless others that have need because of health issues, and we ask that you'll continue to watch over them and that you'll be with them. Father, we thank you for your love and care for us. We're grateful for this church and for their love for the children's home and the upcoming event, less than 2 weeks away. And pray, Father, that you'll bless us with good weather, and that things will work together in a good way so that you can be honored and children who are in need can be helped. We ask, Father, that you will allow us to be the people that you want us to be. You have called us to be holy because you are holy. And we pray, Father, that not just tonight, but tomorrow, by the people that we work with, by our families, by strangers, by even those who may not even like us, help us to show forth our love, our concern, our compassion, and most of all, the holiness you want us to have by the way we conduct our lives. Continue to bless us in this good worship tonight. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
You would let stand as we sing Faithful Love, and then remain standing for scripture reading to follow.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered ground, makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear.
Faithful love. reading will come from Acts
20, verse 35. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You may be seated.
We are going to take a moment and pray. I hope you know God answers our prayers always. You've heard the old adage, sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a not yet. But sometimes it's more obvious and we get to see visible signs of it. And so I want to pray a special prayer over here for our brother Ray. And seeing him in this place is encouraging. I want to pray a special prayer for Miss Pat and the sacrifice and the selfless love she shows supporting him. I want to pray a special prayer for the holiness of marriage and how you guys show that. And God didn't put that here just for our well-being. He put it here to show Christ in his church. And so we love you too and so appreciative of how you display Christ in the church. And so we get to pray over you all, and amongst others, I'm sure, but in this moment, one very visible one is our family right here. So if you would, let's pray. Lord, we're brought to a place of great thanks and praise. And it comes out of love, and it comes from faith, it comes from family, it comes from watching our family suffer, but watching our family serve, watching our family keep spirit and faith about them when people in the world or others in the world may lose hope, lose faith, we see the endurance and the steadfastness of people who are committed to you. And so we're so grateful. But even if there were times of struggle, Father, they struggled with you, not away from you. And so for our brother Ray and sister Pat, thank you, God, for a measure of health that allows him to be here. And even just his presence is such an uplifting thing to us. And we pray that it is to him too. We pray continually for better health. We don't trust in the flesh, nor do we invest in it long term. That's the soul in heaven that we invest in and put our treasures there. But we do, Lord, ask for better health. We know, Lord, that no matter what comes, for those who are sanctified, they're in your hands. And we praise you for it. And we pray that that will give peace in these circumstances. Thank you for Ms. Pat. Please continue to give her the strength she needs to show care and love and support. Thank you for wives that are selfless, wives that love and submit to and respect their husbands. What a godly show and godly example. And so for them and their marriage, we thank you, Lord. And just to be together as a family, what a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a notorious tightwad. A notorious tightwad. He was called on by the chairman of this community charity. And so the chairman looks at old tightwad and says, "Tightwad?" No, he said, "Sir, our records here show and indicate that despite your wealth, which is immense, you have never given once to our drive." Old tightwad said, "Well, do your records show that I have an elderly mother who was left penniless when my father died? Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Do your records show that I have a widowed sister with small children who can barely make ends meet? Do your records show that?" To which the chairman replied, "No, sir," in embarrassment. "Our records don't show these things." "Well," said the tightwad, "I don't give to any of them, so why should I give something to you?" How do you start out a sermon? I know. You didn't see that one coming. How do you start out a sermon on giving? Giving on a Sunday night when a group have traveled multiple states. Giving on a Sunday night when there are people whose bodies might be failing. Giving on a Sunday night where we have guests in from out of town. How do you preach and open a sermon? Well, I want you to laugh. Why? Because laughter unites us. When we do that, we're one. Now I want us all to be drawn into God together, into the heart that He desires us to have. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Jesus, who said, not only it's more blessed to give than to receive, here's what else He said. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, this is verse 1, in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, when? You see, there are three levels of giving. That's number one, the law. When you give, because you must give, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The first level of giving is the law. You have to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. On the first day of the week, as I directed the churches in Galatia, so you also are to do. And Paul goes on to say, and I don't have it memorized, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And so there is an example of when the church is gathered together in Corinth and also Galatia. Store up as you've prospered. Now, he did say that when I get there, there will be no collecting. We can talk about that a little bit later. But there is an example of it happening. You have to do it. But then the second level is you ought to. Not because we slap your wrist if you don't, but because you just want to be obedient to what Jesus said. And so you ought to. But then the third level, and that is the deeper level, is this. You actually want to. I've met people at every level, and I think at times I've been at every level. And I want you to have these three levels in mind as the backdrop for what God expects from us as people who are giving. Now, you probably are asking a couple of questions. I've tried to ask some of these questions myself. How much do I give back to the Lord on Sundays? 10%? Right? Wrong? At least? We'll talk about it. How much does He expect? When do I write my checks? Saturday night? Sunday morning? During the communion? Do I write it on Tuesday when I get paid? Do I write out all 52 checks on the first day of the year? When do I write my check? Why do we give weekly? What's the point of that? Well, we already showed that a little bit in 1 Corinthians 16, that the churches in Galatia and Corinth were doing it, and that's a pattern of Scripture that we follow on the first day of the week, just like we commune on the first day of the week. We follow the patterns of Scripture. What if I only get paid every 2 weeks? Because the Scriptures do indicate as you prosper. And so what if payday comes every 2 weeks? Well, a couple of thoughts. If you get paid every 2 weeks, give every 2 weeks. But if you can manage your money and budget it properly, I think it's better to give every week. So give every week. Just budget it better. Can I give every other week? Well, we'll see. Is it okay to give automatically through the app? Absolutely. You're giving. It comes out. There are much more details in this overview lesson, by the way. Some people who, well, we're not going to get into it. So what does God expect of me? Because here's where I want to start. Right where it matters, which is the heart. And I want to keep it simple. And I want to progress in a simple way. We operate as a church strictly on a contribution and giving basis. So if you look back there, We see our offering today, offering from last week rather, and next week will be the offering from this week and so on and so forth. Our records are public. Kyle has said on numerous occasions, if you want to see something, you can look at it. And as a matter of fact, I would suggest you go and do that. We have nothing to hide. And if you want to know where money is going, go find it. Go look for it. Go ask Kyle for it. We can print those things off. And that'd be very simple and very easy. Now, also, and to that, we only operate on a giving and a contribution-based way. So several things happen when that takes place. The good of that is people will contribute to the Lord's work as a part of this family, but also from outside of the family. We get semi-regular checks from local businesses because they just want to support the work that we do at Florence Boulevard. That's great. We're appreciative of it. I'm grateful that you guys shine your light so bright. It's a great song. That when you shine your light so bright, people out there see it and say, hey, I want a piece of that. Can I help support it? So good job. And I love that. But another thing happens too, and this one is not so good. Sometimes I've seen that when people get upset, they withhold their check from the contribution each week as a show of their disapproval. And I think that is an incredibly ungodly thing. And I would challenge you, if you are ever in that position of thought, to caution yourself and pray earnestly that He would remove that spirit from you. Withholding, I would say, is borderline sinful. What God expects is free will, heart-based giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 speaks to this. When the scriptures say, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Should give, law. He has decided to give, obedience. From his heart, grace. Three levels. Did you see it there in 2 Corinthians 9, 7? I have to. I ought to, I want to. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. We don't expect people to give because our shepherds tell them to give or because we have a budget that we have to meet. We expect people to understand that if God has given freely to us, so we should give freely back to Him. That's love. And let's be honest, we expect people to understand that whatever we give, it's really just a portion of what He has provided for us. We expect people to understand that we give not only of our dollar bills, but also of our bodies, our talents, which are diverse, and our time. We expect people to understand that when we give freely, we actually gain more because God provides us with where we're lacking. But if we're stingy and restrictive, we actually end up with less because we are then restricting God. We expect you to know that you give as you have prospered. And the scriptures speak of this. In 1 Corinthians 16, 2, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Give of your means as you have prospered. And there's a heartbeat from this in the Old Covenant too. When a tithe was taking place back in the Old Covenant law, the word literally meant a tenth. And they were to give of their first fruits. First fruits, meaning what they got, the first of what they got, 10% of it was given over to the Lord. Now, if you're to go up and look at all the other things that the Israelites had to give to God based on law, there was so much more than 10%. As a matter of fact, when you ask the question, how much should I give? I would say start at 10%. Don't cap out at 10. Start at 10. Not because it's a magical number that God expects of everybody, but we see a pattern of it from the Old Testament, and it's a good place to begin. But they gave more freely from there, and I think that should be the heartbeat of God's people as well. Giving freely. You give as you've prospered from a heart, and truly a spirit of giving is a sign of a healthy church. That's why when Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, he's like, listen, I'm coming. I'm going to gather a collection. We're going to take it to Jerusalem. We're going to help those needy saints. And the church gave, and they gave abundantly. Even later, he talked about the church, the collection that took place in Macedonia here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. The grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. They were in a severe test of affliction, verse 2 says. And their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. I need to slow down. I have a lot to say, so I want to talk fast. Did you know that studies have been shown that people who have less actually give more percentage-wise? And people who have more, based on this study that was done several years ago, they give less percentage-wise. I wonder why. And here's what I think. I tried to reason through that after I saw it. I wonder if people in poverty think this. Well, I don't have anything anyway. I might as well give it all I got. I might as well give it all I got. It's not much, but here's all I have. And they push their chips to the table. Whereas those of us who have much more might think, man, I've got a lot. I kind of like having a lot. I want to make sure I keep a lot. So I might just give a little. You're probably not in either one of those two places. Maybe you're somewhere in between, but maybe you are. What does God expect of us? To love Him and recognize that He's given freely, and so we do too. Based on what we've prospered and how He's provided. And then we give of our means. There is a heart of giving. One of my best friends, his name's Tyler Wunderlich. They tried for years to get pregnant and had given up hope. Had given up hope and thought they would try and adopt. And going through the adoption process, they found out they were pregnant. And it was like the greatest thing. They give birth to their child, and he spends, he's airlifted from West Kentucky up into Louisville. And surgery after surgery, thousands after thousands and thousands, week after week after week, I think it was five, they finally realize that he's going to have some serious issues throughout his life. Well, coming up on 3 years old now, little baby Drew Wunderlich is one of, I believe it's 100 known cases with his particular disease, his issue. And he's a great little kid, special little baby boy. He's very delayed. Recently, he was able to recognize the letters G-O-D and say God. And it was amazing. Now it's his favorite word. He just says it a lot, Tyler's told me. Well, where Tyler is an associate minister, they started a kids' give. And with the kids' give every Sunday morning, they put a bucket on the left and a bucket on the right, and they sing a song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, or Jesus Loves Little Children. At that point, all the kids are encouraged to get up and take their money, if they want to participate, walk up to the bucket and place it in. They want to teach their children sacrifice and giving, but not just sacrifice and giving, but the excitement and the joy that comes with giving. And Tyler said, the first week when it happened, baby Drew, he grabbed that dollar bill, and they said he ran down the center aisle with that thing up in the air like this. Now, later, if he does that in an adult, we've got problems. But he put it in the bucket, and he came back down the aisle, and he was high-fiving people. There's a little video clip I want to show you of it to see the spirit of giving, because I remember if Jesus said it correctly that we ought to be like these children. Not childlike, but childish. And maybe here's a little clip to show you. I'll try and talk over which one little baby Drew is. There he is in the white shirt right there, coming up the middle. He's waving at his dad, who's leading singing. I like to watch these little kids. They're skipping. They're hopping. Drew's waving. He's running now. Here comes my nephew waving that dollar right there. That's good. said at first when they started it, it was a bit awkward because they've never done it. Now they say, the kids wait in anticipation for their turn to give. What do you think the adults feel too? Utter excitement and joy with the spirit and the heart of giving. I think that's one example of seeing what that's all about. What does God expect of me? As I've prospered from the heart freely, because he's given to me freely. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. What does God expect of me? Starting in verse 9. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I probably should have used that verse this morning when talking about discouragement. If we don't give up, be of good cheer, keep going, keep pushing. But then he said in verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have a portion of our Christian family that believe that when you give on Sunday, that the only place the offering and the contribution, the collection, as the Bible says, the collection can go to is Christians, Christians only. Some people say actually it's sinful if you use the collected money to those who are not Christians. Now, we can talk about that all day long. But what I know from the scriptures is, as you have opportunity, do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith. Well, everyone encompasses everyone, both Christian and non-Christian alike. What does God expect of me? To give freely, because he's given freely, from my heart as we have prospered, giving to the needs of Christians. What we see in the first century is that was needs-based giving. There was a need, let's give to it, boom, let's move on to the next need. I don't know if we could do that here, Kyle. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know, shepherds, if we could say, you know, we've got 12 base needs, and we're going to give to it once, you know, in January, meet that need. February, March, April, May, June, July. I don't think it's possible. I asked my dad about it. He's like, well, son, isn't the budget a need? Yes. Is it a need every week? Yes. He's like, you don't like this answer, but you're doing it already. I'm like, yeah, right, Dad. You're right. What he told me is, I have to do a better job of being informed. Because the information's out there. I need to do a better job. Well, what does God expect of me? To do a better job? What does he expect of us as a church? To take care of home first and then go elsewhere. Think about it. The church in Jerusalem had a need. They couldn't provide for themselves, so what did they do? Then they went elsewhere to ask for help. And when the church in Corinth was gathering funds, it wasn't for other people first, it was for themselves first. The needy and the needs that was within their own body. And honestly, I believe it's this case. That there will be times when we can give more to outside places and outside works and ministries, and then there's going to be times when we need to give less in order to take care of home first. And you may think I'm crazy for saying that, but I think this concept is supported by the fact that if a Christian individual, if I care for this church more than I care for my family right over there, that the Bible actually calls me a reprobate and that I'm worse than an unbeliever. Because I'm supposed to take care of home first as an individual. I believe we as a church have the responsibility to take care of home first and then from there go elsewhere. Because if the home is right, we can do exponentially more elsewhere. What does God expect of me? This may have to turn into a part two. He expects our hearts to be giving sacrificially. One afternoon, a little girl who had eagerly wished to go was turned away from the Sunday school door, crying bitterly because there was no more room. I asked her, this individual wrote, why it was that she was crying, and she sobbingly replied that it was because they couldn't let her into the Sunday school. This was a long time ago in that little square house with that potbelly stove. I said to her that I would take her in, and I did so, and I said to her that we should someday have a room big enough that any child who wants to come can come. And she was a lovable little thing, the man said. But only in a few weeks after that, she was taken suddenly ill and died. And at the funeral, her father told me quietly of how this little girl decided that she was going to save money for a building fund. And it was there at the funeral, he handed me what she had saved. 57 pennies. At a meeting of the church trustees, I told of this gift of 57 cents. The first gift toward the proposed building fund of the new church building that was sometime in the future to exist. You see, up until that moment, it had barely been spoken of. You know, a new church building had only been a passing possibility for the future. But the group was so moved and touched, it turned out they were far more impressed than I could have even possibly hoped for. For in a few days, one of them came to me and said that he thought it would be an excellent idea to buy a lot on Broad Street, the very lot on which a building now stands. I talked the matter over with the owner of the property, and I told him of the beginning of the fund, the story of the 57 pennies and the little girl. Well, the man was not a member of our church. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even a church goer. But he listened attentively to the tale of the 57 cents, and he simply said he was quite ready to go ahead and sell us that piece of land for $10,000, taking, and the unexpectedness of this deeply touched me, taking a first payment of just 57 cents and letting the entire balance stand on a 57 cent mortgage, trusting that we would pay the rest in time. From that story came a group called the Temple, now known as Temple University. Story of a little girl whose heart was moved and touched. You don't have to have a big contribution to make a big impact, but you have to have a big heart to be a big giver. And what does God expect of me? He expects me to have that heart. So how much do you give? I don't know. But I believe if we develop the proper attitude towards giving, then the amount will take care of itself. Maybe in some way this has helped you. I'll come back to this another time and finish it up. What I hope you are moved by is the heart of the matter, that everything we do is in response to what God has done. And if He has given so freely, then shouldn't we? And if He has given His Son to live and die for us, shouldn't we then choose to live in death for Him? How do you do it? Well, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I prepare my soul to live sacrificially, now into eternity. Maybe in some way you've been touched or convicted by the word, and we can help you and pray for you in any way. Maybe you need to become a Christian, which means this. You respond in obedience to the free gift that God has given so that you can meet Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection, that is a believer's baptism, confessing sin, believing and trusting in Him as your Savior, being buried in the blood that we call water baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. We want to help you with it. Let us know as we stand and sing together. together this evening, we'll sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
If there's anyone here tonight who did not have the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper this morning and did not pick up a communion pack, would you raise your hand at this time and one of our ushers will bring it to you. This morning we talked about the humility of Christ, and I wanted to expand upon one of the scripture verses that I read this morning from Philippians. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself
by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you that Jesus came to this earth in human form to go to the cross for our sins. Lord, as the song we just sang, it was our sins that held him there until it was finished. Lord, as we focus on Christ and that sacrifice, we pray that we always partake of communion in a worthy manner as we focus on the bread and the sacrifice of his body. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord, we continue in prayer that as we take of the cup, we do so in a pleasing manner to you. Lord, we know that it represents his blood that he so freely gave in our place. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice, and we pray that we never take that sacrifice for granted. And in his name we pray. Amen. On Sunday evenings, we typically do not pass the trays again. There are opportunities to give if you did not have an opportunity to give this morning. I thank Austin for that wonderful lesson tonight about giving. I pray that we all have purposed in our hearts what we intend to give of our time, our money. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for our prosperity. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful. We're so blessed of every opportunity that you have given us to make a living, to provide a means of support for our family, to pay our bills, to support the work that goes on in this congregation. Dear Lord, pray that we will always go above and beyond and do what you expect of us. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless us. Help us to be cheerful givers of our money, of our time, of our skills, of the talents that you have provided us and given us, Lord. Pray that we continue to support the work that goes on here on a daily basis, dear Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Would let's stand as we close this evening. We'll sing one verse of I Stand in Awe of You, and then have our closing prayer.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or
description.
for being able to come here today and hear these fine two sermons. We want to ask your blessings on all the sick, afflicted, and awful thanks for the ones who've been able to go home and come back to church. Be with our elders and deacons as they lead your flock. We always want to give thanks to you for all we have. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Christ's name, amen.